Well, hello again, everyone. This service has been recorded on Friday evening, the 10th of April, and for use as our evening service on the 12th of April. Someone was asking me during the week how I was finding the experience of preaching in an empty church building. And well, it's not completely empty at the start of the service because Robert is at the recording desk, but I normally try to not look at Robert because he's the only person that I could look at, so it wouldn't be fair for me to be looking at Robert. And then once we get to the start of the sermon, Robert has put the tracks onto the CDs, and then when it comes to the sermon, Robert's able to get up and go and leave it running till the end of the service. So it's a strange experience. You just get to the point where you're preaching, and the one person that's in the congregation gets up and goes, but that's the way it is, and that's... It is a strange experience, but I do trust that there are people that are listening on the church website and also those who get the CDs. Now we're going to begin this service singing to God's praise. The words I'm going to read are from Psalm 27, and they're at the end of the psalm. It's the last four stanzas that I'll be reading. And that's the ones that are marked in our psalm book, 13 to 16. In the Bible, the verse numbers are 11 to 14. So this is Psalm 27, stanzas 13 to 16. And it says, O Lord, instruct me in your way. To me a leader be upon a level path because of those who threaten me. Don't give me to my foes' desire. For those who slander me against me risen are, and such as breathe out cruelty. I would have fainted had I not believed that I would see the Lord's own goodness in the land of those who living be. O wait upon the Lord, I say. Yes, let your strength be great, and let your heart encouraged be upon the Lord, O wait. And we're urged there that there are times when the thing that we have to do is to wait upon the Lord. And that's what we'll be thinking about in this service. And so if you're singing these verses at home, you can pause the recording now, and then afterwards I will speak to God in prayer. We come now to the Lord in prayer. We give thanks, our Lord and God, for this time of year that we are in just now. We thank you for the springtime, and we rejoice in your good gifts to us. We praise you, Lord, for the singing of the birds that we can hear in these days. And we thank you, Lord, for that beautiful sound. We praise you that you have created those birds. Sometimes we don't see them, but we hear them. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that we do see. We thank you for all the colors that you have put into the springtime, for the spring flowers, and for the fresh greenness in the hedges. We thank you for the growth of the grass, and we praise you for the dry days that you've sent that has enabled much drying of the ground, and much work to be done in the fields. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and for these tokens of your goodness. We do give thanks that this time of lockdown has come at this time of year rather than at a time when the days would be short and the nights would be long. And we praise you for your mercies in this. We ask now that you help us in this time of evening worship. We thank you for the opportunity to draw near to you, and we pray, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit upon us now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to read from God's Word. First reading is a few verses at the start of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and just the first six verses here in this chapter. The Apostle Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Then reading also in the book of 1 Peter, first of all in chapter 2, 1 Peter 2 at verse 18. There we have these words, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And then in chapter 4, verse 12, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. And so reads God's own true word. Well, this evening I want to speak on a topic rather than on a particular passage of Scripture. And I want to speak about something which we often take for granted in the way others act toward us. But sadly, we see it as being a big thing when we need to show it ourselves. I wonder what it is. Well, I want to speak this evening about patience. I couldn't wait to preach on this topic, but I had to. Well, I want to speak about three ways in which we need to exhibit patience. Now, there are lots and lots of ways in which we need to exhibit patience. But these show the variety of ways in which God desires our light to shine before men through this Christ-like quality. And so the first way in which we need to exhibit patience is patience with those who care about us. Patience with those who care about us. I want to begin with the everyday situations in life where patience is the very thing that God wants to see in us. For many of you listening this evening, patience is not something that is needed only occasionally, but it is needed on a daily basis. Now, some of you live on your own, and maybe you think it's only yourself that you can get impatient with. But think about others who are living in a house, and there's various different people there within the household. We share our living space, and we also have situations where we share our space, maybe a bit more space than usual, a bit more distance in a work situation where we're working alongside colleagues. Or there may be others, and we, on a regular basis, we spend time with those people. And we need to exhibit patience in those kind of life settings. Patience with people who mean us no harm. Patience with people who care for us, care about us. That kind of patience can be needed at any stage during the day. For some, it'll be required at a very early stage in the day. It'll maybe be required when you're really not at your best. Perhaps someone else is in the bathroom, or someone else is in the toilet, and that's where you want to be, and it seems as if they're spending an awfully long time in there, and you need to be patient. Patience is something that can be needed at any stage in the day, of course. And in household situations, it may be that mealtimes are the culprit. The meal may be ready to serve at the time that was envisaged, but someone isn't there, and everyone's sitting waiting for the last person to come, and maybe not always waiting patiently. And ordinary life throws up all sorts of little annoyances. The actions of others who care about us and who mean us no harm, their actions can tempt us to be irritable and to be impatient. And God wants us instead to display patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. The Lord Jesus was patient. And we need to be patient. One of the ways in which we show love is through being patient. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love suffers long, or love is patient. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, in the first two verses, that we are to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Those are the kind of things that God wants to see in us. He wants to see a patience that arises from lowliness, a patience whereby it's not our plans and our preferences that are the all-important thing in life. God wants us to display a gentleness and a quality of long suffering that we bear with one another in love. Now that is not the way of the world. That is not the way things are in society around us. But that is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to repent of our impatience with those who mean us no harm, those who do care about us, And we need to pray for that working of God's Holy Spirit day in and day out. For his working in us that fruit of a God-honoring patience. The Lord Jesus Christ was patient. He was patient with his disciples. In the training of his disciples, there was so much that Jesus had to put up with day after day after day. How patient he was in the training of the 12. And we are called to be patient with those people who care about us, those people who don't mean us any harm. Then in the second place, we are also to be patient with those who don't care about us. There are people in life who don't care about you. I recall someone once said to me, "You don't matter to me." And that's the way it is. To some people, you don't matter. And all of us experience that in some way in life. Due to the presence of sin in this world, we cannot expect that it will always be the case that people will care about us. There will be those, and they will mean us harm. They will mean us harm because we get in their way. There's something they want, and we're in the way, so we need to get out of the way. They're supremely interested in themselves. And there are difficult things for us to face in life. Sometimes that takes the form of just an occasional act of provocation. But there can also be much more prolonged episodes where daily, perhaps, we have to live in an environment where we know that there are people who take a delight in mistreating us. And sadly, some people have to live in those situations. Maybe it's school where there are people just delight in making your life miserable. Or it may be in a workplace situation. And even more sadly, for some people, it can be in their own homes. Well, in those kinds of situations, there is a great, great need for the patience that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And without that patience that is produced in us by God the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to bear a good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that ongoing daily challenge of being treated unfairly that is the hardest one to deal with. And without the patience that is of the Lord, we are all inclined to just grow resentful and to be bitter. And when we're resentful and bitter, we cannot be lights in a dark world. There is a great deal in the book of 1 Peter to show us how we are to cope with the unfair treatment that may come our way in life, that may come to us in particular because we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're reminded of our need to follow the example that Jesus himself set in reacting to unfair treatment. Jesus didn't just have to be patient with the people who cared about him, but he also had to be patient with the people who really didn't care about him and who were out to harm him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. It says there, "But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. The Lord Jesus did not retaliate against those who delighted in persecuting him. He prayed that God would forgive them, and in doing so, he sets us an example to follow. The Lord Jesus entrusted himself to the justice of God, and that's what he wants us to do also. Jesus knew that his Father can be relied upon to be faithful, and there will be no meaningless ill treatment that comes to the children of God. And our Lord was patient. Peter has further words of counsel in chapter 4, verse 14. He says, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." In verse 19, he says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." When people are always out to get you because of your faith in Christ, well, then you need to remember that God will always be watching over you. You have a faithful Creator. He will always be faithful. He will always be just. He will always be wise. And what you're facing in those hard situations of life, these things are going to result in good in some way. They will be good for your own growth in Christian graces. And they'll also be good for those who are against you, because they will see things in you that they know they do not have within themselves. So those ongoing unfair treatments that we receive as Christians, God calls us to be patient in the midst of all of that. And also those more one-off things, those occasional acts of provocation, where it's not something that's done on a regular basis, but every now and then it comes. These things also are to be met with a godly patience. It's easy to just retaliate. It's easy to fall into the trap of repaying evil for evil. It's easy to quickly become angry in those kind of situations. And we need to recall the counsel of James. He says in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And we could think of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, where we're told that love is not provoked, or love is not easily angered. And the angry response is not the patient response. Our Lord Jesus displayed great patience with those who were out to harm him, and we are called to walk in his ways. So there's a need for patience with those who care about us, but who can irritate us. And there's a need for patience with those who don't care about us, and they want to irritate us, they want to harm us. And the fruit of the Spirit, the way of Christ, is patience. There is a patient way that we need to seek to find. Then the third way that I want to mention, in which we need to find and exhibit patience, is patience with God's timetable. It's not only our fellow human beings that we need to be patient with. Patience is also needed when we are waiting for things to happen. When God doesn't move as quickly as we want him to move, then we need to have the patience that is the fruit of God's Spirit. And in the Bible, we find many characters whose patience was tested. Think of Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham found the timing of God to be something very hard to cope with. He waited and he waited and he waited for God to grant him that son that he had promised. But he found in the end that God was true to his word. He had to be patient. Moses had to wait for a long time before the time came eventually for the Israelites to enter the promised land. Moses had been ready 40 years earlier, but Moses had to wait. And then when the time came, it was too late for Moses. Too late for Moses to enter. And God took him away by death before he was able to enter the promised land. And it was only when he stood with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration that Moses set foot in the earthly promised land. Moses had to be patient, and he fell short. Joseph had a long time to wait from when he had the dream about his family members bowing down before him to when that actually happened. And in all the intervening times, there were so many of those days when it must have seemed impossible that such a thing could ever be. But it came. Joseph had to be patient. King Saul, first king of Israel, he needed to show patience. He needed to wait for the prophet Samuel to come and to make the sacrifice. But Saul was impatient. And as a result, he was told that the kingdom was going to be taken away from him and given to another. He failed to show patience. And the other that the kingdom was to go to was David. And David was told by God that he was going to be king. But David had to wait. And it was a difficult waiting experience for David. He couldn't be king until Saul was no longer king. Saul was still there for a long time. And Saul was seeking to have David put to death. David had to wait. And he had to reject the temptation to take Saul out, to put Saul to death. He had the opportunity. He had to resist that temptation. He had to be patient. He had to wait for God's right time rather than manufacturing his own time. And he was patient. And in the end, God showed himself to be just and faithful. God removed Saul, and David did become king. But he had to be patient. In the New Testament era, the Apostle Paul needed to be patient. For years, when in theory he could have been out and about preaching Christ, founding new churches, instead he was stuck in prison in Caesarea, or he was stuck in prison in Rome. And the Apostle Paul spent longer in prison than we spend today in the training of our ministers. And yet in the midst of those potentially frustrating circumstances, the Spirit of God worked in Paul a patience and a contentment that were a marvelous witness. And Paul was able to write from prison words like these in Philippians 1 verse 12. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And those are the words of a patient man. Paul needed to be patient, and God worked patience in him. And there will be many occasions in life when we need to wait patiently for the Lord. It may be a case of waiting to get a job. Sometimes that can take a long time. Sometimes there can be many disappointments. There can be many false dawns. And God can teach you a lot through your time of waiting. God can teach you about what you really want. You may have to wait to get onto a particular course of study. It may not just go smoothly for you. And there may be complications. You may need to exercise patience. You may have to wait longer than you want to wait for surgery. You may need to wait longer than you want to wait for treatment that you need. There could be something that could make a big difference in your life, but you have to wait for it. And that waiting is difficult. And you can think all sorts of things during that waiting time. And God teaches us that we need to be patient, and we need to believe that His timing will prove to be to His glory. We're all waiting in these days that we're living through at present. We wonder how long this present lockdown is going to continue. How many more weeks will there be? And will it just be the one period of time when we have to go through this kind of thing? Or will there be another time beyond it? And there are so many unanswered questions. We don't know. We have to wait and see. We need to be patient. In life, sometimes we have to be patient, waiting for God to provide us with a friend who will be a helper to us. Sometimes friends can be hard to find. And we have to be patient, and we have to pray, and we have to trust that the Lord will supply when there is a real pressing need. Sometimes you have to wait for God to provide you with a spouse. Things don't always go smoothly in romances. There can be ups and downs and ons and offs, and things can not work out the way you'd hoped they were going to work out. That which was promising may not prove to last, and there's a great need for patience. Sometimes, as was the experience of Abraham, waiting for God to grant the blessing of a child, that requires a lot of patience. And that is something that sometimes people have to face. God is able to give the patience in facing these kind of things. Sometimes you have to wait and be patient for our prayers to be answered. Maybe we're praying for someone who's not a Christian. We long to see God working in their life. We have to be patient. You have to wait sometimes for ordinary things like being able to afford to drive. Maybe you're able to drive, but you can't afford to drive, and you have to be patient. And There are spiritual things that we have to wait for. We would desire to see God working in mighty ways. We would desire to see that in days like this, where the things that people normally live for and trust in are being taken away from them, that it would lead to a turning to God, and that the light would come on in people's understanding, and that they would realize that there's a whole different purpose to life than what they'd thought about before. But we might have to wait for that to happen. We have to wait for God to stir in the heart of anyone. And even within the church, we need to wait for God to stir in our hearts so that his cause can go forward and flourish. We need patience with God's timetable. God is on a different timetable from we are on often. And so we need patience. And patience is a beautiful thing. The Lord Jesus was so patient with his disciples, and he continues to be patient today. They failed to learn from him so often, but he stuck at it. And we're just the same. And day in, day out, we provoke our Lord, and yet he is patient with us. And how glad we should be for the patience of our Lord and Savior. And he wants us to go and show that same patience to others, to go and display to other undeserving sinners the patience that we ourselves have benefited from again and again and again. The patience that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing, and God wants to work that same patience within each of his saved people. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Let us pray for that work of the Spirit in us. Let us pray that God would give us a patience that makes us stand out, and that shows people something of the character of God, and that gives hope that there may be something that really is worth waiting for. The Lord Jesus Christ was wonderfully patient, and we are to strive to follow him. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Amen. Well, let us look to God now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we are those with whom you have been patient. We thank you that you're a God of great patience. You're a God of great long suffering. And we rejoice, O Lord, in that. We thank you that we are the beneficiaries of your patience. And we pray that you'll help us, O Lord, to see that as being a fact. Help us to recognize in how we sin again and again, to see that the great patience of God. And Lord, we pray that having received that blessing ourselves, that we would seek to convey that to others. Help us, O Lord, to be patient with other people. Help us to be patient with those people who don't intend any harm to us at all, those people who care for us and want the best for us. We pray that you'll keep us from being foolishly annoyed and impatient. We pray, O Lord, that you'll help us in those times when we know that people are saying things and doing things deliberately to annoy us. And we pray that you will keep us from falling into the trap that they set for us. Help us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not return to others what they had dealt to him. Help us to be like the one who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. That when he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. And we pray that you would help us, O Lord, to learn to do that. Help us to be patient with the events of our lives, to wait for those things that we have to wait for. We pray, O God, that you will keep us from a sinful impatience. And we pray that you will help us to believe that your timing will be the right timing and the good timing, and that we will praise you for your timing of events in our lives. We praise you for all that you're able to teach us through our times of waiting. And Lord, we pray that we will learn those lessons, and that the things we receive after waiting a long time will be all the more precious to us because of the wait. We pray, Lord, in these days for our theological students. We thank you for the exam period that they have come through in the last couple of weeks, and we pray now that they would be able to benefit from a break from their studies and their revision and their exams. And we do pray for them, O Lord. Pray for whatever comes next. We pray that you will provide for them. And we ask, O Lord, that they will not suffer unduly because of the disruption to normal church activities that we have at the present time. Provide for them, O Lord, and lead them on in your shaping and preparing of them. We pray, O Lord, for those in our congregation who have been in hospital in recent times. We pray for some who are still probably in hospital. And we pray for them that you will give them patience as they wait for the treatment they've received to be seen to have been effective. We pray, O Lord, that you'll help them in times when things don't work out the way they had hoped. And Lord, we pray for your help for those who are still in hospital. We pray for others that we hope by this time have made it home. And we pray for recovery after the things that they've been in hospital for. We ask, Lord, for your mercies to those who have health concerns in these days. And we pray that in these times when so much of the resources in our health service are being devoted to dealing with the coronavirus epidemic, and where other surgeries have been postponed and treatments are being postponed, we ask, Lord, that in your mercy, people will not suffer because of that. We pray for your restraining hand upon people's health. And we ask, O God, that those who are waiting for different surgeries and procedures and treatments, we pray that they wouldn't have unduly long to wait. And we pray that you will give a peace in the midst of that waiting. We pray, Lord, for our young folk in our congregation. We pray that you will help them in these unusual times where they're not able to study in the way they normally would, and where assessments are being done in a different kind of way, and where people are wondering what the future will hold as to where they will be in a few months' time and what will be possible. And there are so many unknowns, O Lord. And we just pray for our young folk as they face something that they weren't expecting at all. And we pray that you will surround them with your wisdom and your help. And we pray that they will be able to look to you and trust that you will lead them through these times, and that your good purposes for them will prevail. We pray that you'll hear these, our prayers, that you will continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the psalm with which we close our service is number 37. Psalm 37, and singing some of the verses here in this psalm, the stanzas that we look to are marked 6 to 10 in the Bible verses. This would be from verse 7 through to verse 11. And I'll read these verses. Psalm 37 from stanza 6. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who evil does, and still he prospers yet. See that from anger you abstain, and cease from fury too. Don't fret yourself in any way, lest evil you should do. For those who evildoers are will be cut off and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord, the land inherit will. For yet a little while, and then the wicked will not be. His place you will search out with care, but him you will not see. But for inheritance the earth the meek ones will possess. They also will delight themselves in an abundant peace. And these are reassuring words. We're told that we need to rest in the Lord. We need to patiently wait for him. We're not to be fretting, but we are to be patiently waiting upon the Lord. And we are assured that there's a great inheritance in store for us. And we will delight ourselves in an abundant peace that God has stored up for us. So let us rejoice in these words, and let us strive to be those who do rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. That will be a great witness in these days. If we can be those who are seen to be resting in the Lord and patiently waiting for him, he will be praised through how we do this. So if you're singing these verses, you can pause the recording. And then afterwards, I will close our service with the words of benediction. The words of benediction come from Hebrews at the end of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, we have these great words of benediction. And so receive the blessing of Almighty God. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.